thanks. I want to thank the organizers for inviting me here and providing me this opportunity to speak. So I will talk about D-wave superconductivity in twisted bilayer graphene based on a phono mechanism. This work has been done mainly with Alan McDonald and Eva Martin. The main result presented in this PRL paper, the details of the D-wave superconductivity given in this archive paper. This is the outline of the talk. So first, I will discuss phono-mediated superconductivity theory in twisted bilayer graphene. These are the phono modes that I will use. So each blue dot represents a carbon atom. So these are optical phono modes with in-plane displacement field. These phono modes generate attractive induction in both S-wave parent channels. The attraction combined with the bend thinning near the magic angle leads to high TC, but higher in on the order of 1 kelvin. Second, I will talk about the chiral D-wave state, including the gap structure, the topological character. I will discuss a new phenomena that arise due to the Morey super lattice. They are spontaneous vortex, anti-vortex configuration in the order parameter, and spontaneous supercurrent in the bulk. Finally, I will discuss effect of strain and in-plane magnetic field on the superconducting state. Both of them can stabilize emetic D-wave state, just because both of them break the rotational symmetry down to C2. The last part is work in progress with Professor Shankar Sama. Okay, this is a experiment that motivates our study. So a brief summary. So near magic angle, the bend flattens, and in this first experiment, when the lower flat band is half filled, there is correlated insulating states, and near these insulating states, there are superconducting domes with transition temperature on the order of 1 Kelvin. Since this work has been extensively discussed in this workshop, I will not discuss the details. Before going to our theory, let me make one assumption. So I will assume that the correlated insulators and the superconductors are competing states. In our case, I will assume that the superconductivity arises from the attraction mediated by phono fluctuation, while the correlated insulators are driven by electron-electron repulsion effects. The correlated insulators can be quite complicated. There are a lot of possibilities. One possibility is some type of ferromagnetism with flavor polarization. Another possibility is density wave that breaks the Morey translational symmetry. There are many degrees of freedom in the system. There are spin valley sublattice layer. So this freedom makes the problem rich, but also makes the problem quite complicated. On the other hand, I will argue that superconductivity might be simpler. The order parameter might be more universal. First, there is a good reason to believe that the pairing is between K and minus K valleys. So this has been discussed by other authors and has also been pointed out in our paper. Second, there is a good spin SU2 symmetry. By this symmetry, we can classify the pairing as spin singlet and spin triplet. We have also the C6 rotational symmetry around the axis. So we can further classify spin singlet into S wave and D wave. For spin triplet, we have P wave and F wave. The goal of this talk is to present a model pairing Hamiltonian derived from electron phono interaction. So this model will give rise to pairing in S wave and D wave channel. Within this model, I will treat Coulomb repulsion in a simplified way. So the issue of Coulomb repulsion is not fully solved. Let me give a brief introduction to the Morey physics. First, let's start from monolayer. So this is real space lattice structure. We have a honeycomb lattice with AB sublattice. This is a Brillouin zone. We have K and minus K valleys. So near K and minus K, the electrons have a linear Dirac dispersion. For the purpose of this talk, there is a very important property, which I name as sublattice pseudospin chirality. Let's look exactly at K point. There are two degenerate states. These two states can be associated with A and B sublattice. Under the threefold rotation around the hexagon center, A and B sublattice at K valley carry opposite angular momentum, expressed here, this phase vector. So they have one has angular momentum plus one, and the other has angular momentum minus one. At minus K valley, for the same sublattice, the angular momentum is opposite. This is just due to the time reversal symmetry. So this will be important for the symmetry of the pairing. Okay. To construct a twisted bilayer graphene, let's start from this AA stacked bilayer graphene, and let's do a rotation around the hexagon center. And this will lead to a twisted bilayer graphene with point group D6. I will use this as the point group for twisted bilayer graphene. So for electrons, we have spin SU2 symmetry, time reversal symmetry, and also valley U1 symmetry in the continuum model. The theory is based on this continuum Hamiltonian, Mori Hamiltonian. This is for one valley, and we have another Hamiltonian at minus K valley. So they are related by time reversal symmetry. At K valley, there are two parts in the Mori Hamiltonian. The diagonal parts are the Dirac Hamiltonian. They are shifted in momentum space by this twist. The other part is the interlayer tunneling. This tunneling is a function of real space coordinates, and the tunneling varies periodically with the Mori period. So these are the two essential parts of the continuum Hamiltonian. Let's look at the Mori bend structure. This is a nine-cut plot, and this is near the magic angle, bigger than the magic angle here. So we have C2T symmetry, which protects the Dirac point, and we have C3 symmetry, which pins the Dirac point to the Mori Brillouin zone corners. There's a very important property for the pairing. These two color plots are the energy contour plots for valence band here, for the lower energy flat band here. This is for plus K valley, and that plot is for minus K valley. Let's look at plus K valley, and let's look at Q. Suppose Q is here, a momentum measured relative to gamma point, and a minus Q point. So the energy at Q and minus Q are different. So within one valley, the bend structure is inversion asymmetric with respect to this little gamma point. But we do have time reversal symmetry. Time reversal symmetry relates bend structure in one valley to the bend structure in the other valley. So we do have this relation. So the energy at Q point in one valley is equal to the energy at minus Q point in the other valley. So due to this property, I will argue that intervalley pairing is more favored. Okay, so I'll only consider intervalley pairing. So we know that there's a magic angle in the flat band. So near the magic angle, the band is very flat with velocity going to zero exactly at the magic angle. So this leads to greatly enhanced density of states. And this is important for the superconductivity. So because of this greatly enhanced density of states, the TC can be on the order of 1 Kelvin. OK, These are the following modes that I consider. So this is the following bend structure for monolayer graphene. We have gamma point, K point. So these are the two important momentum, because low energy electrons are located at K and minus K. So gamma point will lead to inter-valley scattering, while K valley phonons will lead to inter-valley scattering. I'll use the optical phonons. They will couple to electrons even with zero momentum. This is the motivation that for the reason that we use optical phonons. So optical phonons have high frequency. So these gamma point phonons have about 1.2 eV, and K point phonons is slightly lower in energy. So we have four optical phonon modes. So these are the X and Y motion of the gamma point phonon, and these two are derived from plus and minus K point. This lattice vibration will modulate the boundedness, and this will change the effective warping between nearest neighbor sites. So from this consideration, we can get this electron-phonon coupling interaction. Here, psi is an electron operator near direct point. U is a normal mode for phonons. And here we have tau is the valleys, polymetrics, sigma is the sublattice polymetrics. The first two are from intra-valley scattering, and the last two is from inter-valley scattering. The coupling strength F here is given by T over A. T is the nearest neighbor warping parameter for monolayer graphene. A is the lattice constant for monolayer graphene. Okay. Okay, so these are high energy optical phonon modes, so we can safely integrate them out. By doing so, I will neglect the momentum dependence of the frequency. So just because the phonon modes are, phonon bands are nearly flat, near gamma and K. By integrating the phonon modes, I get this phonon mediated attraction. Attraction here is represented by the minus sign here. These are local attraction. So here psi diagonal and psi are understood as to be at the same position. These are local because I neglect the momentum dependence of the frequency. Let's look at the attractive interaction strength. So we have G0 divided by the optical phonon frequency. So although optical phonon frequency is high, but the tunneling between sites is also a large number. So this combination, T0 divided by frequency, is still sizable. So this is the reason why optical phonon modes can give can contribute to the pairing effectively. Here, M is a carbon mass. Okay, this is quite complicated. It's unclear what is the pairing interaction is from this equation. What I will do is to keep the intervalley terms. So by doing so, by expanding this 9, I get three terms. The first term is from the gamma valley phonon, and I have here plus means plus K valley, A is A sublattice, S represents spin. So here I didn't put in the layer index. This is a pair interaction for one layer, and the interaction for the two layers are almost identical. So the first time is plus A paired with minus A, plus K valley, A sublattice, paired with minus k valley A sublattice, intervalley, same sublattice pairing. The second line is from this k valley phonons, and it's similar to the first line. It's also intervalley, intra-sublattice pairing. The last line is different. The last line is from this intervalley phonons. It pairs plus k valley A sublattice with minus k valley B sublattice. So it is intervalley pairing, but between different sides. So it turns out that the intra-sublattice pairing is SOF, but inter-sublattice pairing is DOF. By the way, I should mention that from these three terms, I only get a spin singly pairing. At least from these three terms, I don't get spin triplet pairing. Okay, let me explain why intra-sublattice is SOF. So let's look at the angular momentum. So let's look at k valley A sublattice and minus k valley A sublattice. They carry opposite angular momentum due to time reversal symmetry. So the total angular momentum of the Cooper pair is zero. So this is why it is SOF. Let's look at inter-sublattice. We pair k valley A sublattice and minus k valley B sublattice. They share the same angular momentum. So the total angular momentum of the Cooper pair is finite. This is the reason why it is DOF. Okay, so we have optical phonons, and optical phonons combined with the sublattice pseudo-spin chirality will give rise to DOF pairing. I will study SOF and DOF separately using the standard BCS mean field theory. Okay. Spin singly to SOF, the procedure is standard, almost standard, but there is a difference compared to the conventional case. In the usually we will assume that this pair amplitude is independent of the position. But now we have this Mori period. So this within this Mori period, the electron density is modulating. So the pair amplitude is also modulating. So I will assume that the pair amplitude is a periodic function with the Mori period. So typically here the reciprocal lattice vector is zero. But here I allow all reciprocal lattice vectors, Mori reciprocal lattice vectors. And I get this linearized gap equation. It's almost standard, but the difference is due to this momentum dependence. If you only keep the B equal to zero term, then you will get back the standard BCS susceptibility. So here, if you look at this formula, the dimensionless constant is this attractive induction times density of states.
Do you evaluate this chi now with all 10,000 bands or so?
Sure. This is a very good question. So typically people will use the Debye frequency as a cutoff. But here, there's another cutoff, which is the flat band. So in the susceptibility calculation, I only keep these two flat bands because they have very high density of states. Other bands have very low density of states. So I only keep these two bands in the calculation.
Okay.
And this also gives rise to the natural cutoff. I no longer need the Debye cutoff.
Yeah. Possibly you lose some of the pairing strength, right? Because it's
Yes, but it should be a tiny effect. Yes. So this is SOF pairing. Near the magic angle, the density of states per valley per spin can be of order 10 per EV per nanometer squared. So this is a number comparable to the two-dimensional metal system. And the dimension is coupling constant is can be on the order of one. So certainly it will depend on the flatness of the bend structure. And this will be sensitive to the exact parameters such as the twist angle. This is the
question.
Yes.
The spatial structure of the pairing, if you divide by the total local density of states within the flat bands, would it be kind of constant?
I haven't done that. It is a very good question. I haven't done that. But probably it's close. Yeah, I haven't done that. So let's first look at TC. Okay. This is the dos as a function of chemical potential in the flat band. So this side is empty flat band, and that side is fully filling all the two flat bands. Zero means charge neutrality point, the direct point. And this is a TC as a function of chemical potential. Okay, the TC can be high just because this constant is large. Okay. So compared to the experiment, certainly this is not correct. Okay. We have highest TC at zero, but zero has zero density of states. The reason is that the band is very flat, so all states contribute to the pairing, right? In this very flat case, okay. I will go back to this point later, okay. This is a modulation of the pair amplitude in real space. So one here means the Mori constant. So as you can see that the pair amplitude is peaked near the A region, just because electrons are concentrated near the A region. Okay. Let me look at D wave now. Okay. For D wave, we have two channels. We have, roughly speaking, they are D plus and D minus. So in D plus, I pair K value A sub lattice with minus K value B sub lattice. So in real space, you can think this pairing as a nearest neighbor pairing with a bound-dependent phase factor. If you do an exercise for molar lithographing and use this type of pairing, you will get the D plus pairing here. For D minus, the phase factor is opposite. I will study D plus and D minus separately, and we get similar susceptibility equation. The difference is this matrix element. So here, sigma plus is a Pauli matrix in the sublattice space. Sigma plus, if you look at the Dirac Hamiltonian, then you can see that sigma plus can be understood as a velocity operator. This is not exact in the case of twisted bibliographing, but it is close. So this can be understood as a velocity operator matrix element. We know that for twisted bibliographing near metric angle, the velocity is strongly reduced just because the band becomes flat. Okay. But the layer counterflow velocity remains finite. From this property, we find that the two pair potentials for the opposite layers have opposite signs in the D-wave channel. So we have two layers, and the pair amplitude differs by a sign in the D-wave channel. This is a TC as a function of chemical potential, blue line for S-wave, this green line for D-wave. So D-wave has smaller TC compared to S-wave. This is a general feature for phonon-mediated interaction. So, but the TC in D-wave channel is still sizable, at least from this calculation, on the order of a few Kelvin. Again, there is a mismatch with the experiment. So I see a peak at charge neutrality. I will come back in the next slide. So this is the modulation of the pair amplitude in real space. So it's very similar to the SOF case, just because the electron density is the same for both cases.
Sorry, just the even in the, maybe it's more so in the blue curve, but the, you have a pretty large GC even far outside the band. Is it, that's because it's pulling a lot of carriers out or something because delta is so big? Or?
Just because delta is so big. So it's just because delta is so big. So there are thermal fluctuations. Okay. I will show a better plot.
The red line is the sort of the bare density of states before pairing.
Correct, yes. Yes. Okay, so for this plot, the band is very narrow, okay. Only a few milliv. So this might be a better plot. So here, okay, let me first discuss how we treat Coulomb interaction. Okay, Coulomb interaction, we don't fully solve the Coulomb part. Okay, let me use a very simple model. Okay. I will use on-site and nearest neighbor for the honeycomb lattice of monolinear graphene. So these are really atomic scale interaction. So S-wave is intra-sublattice pairing, so U0 will suppress S-wave. U1 will suppress D-wave. So this will lead to a suppression of the attractive interaction, respectively in S-wave channel and a D-wave channel. So I have four curves here. The dotted lines are for the attractive interaction just from phonon. So it is not close to the experimental figure. This, if we reduce it by 0.1, then it's a bit better. So we do have a dip at the charging triad point. So this blue curve here, the lowest blue curve, and the highest TC is near the Van't Hoff singularity. So in this case, the Van't Hoff singularity is close to half any. So it certainly depends on the details of the band structure. And for D wave, we get a similar result if we reduce the attractive interaction strength. So we have a dip at charging triad point, and we have a dome near half any. So this roughly agrees with the experiment, not fully. Okay. So experimentally, at least for the first paper, this dome is much narrower compared to what I have here. Okay. So if we try to fit with the experimental TC, so we can get some estimation of U0 and U1. So I should say these are reasonable numbers. You may get something higher if you look at some DFT calculation. So within this model, depending on the exact value of U0 and U1, either channel can be the leading superconductivity instability. So here U0 can drive correlated insulating states, but I will not talk about it. Okay, summary for this part. So phonons generate attractive interaction in both S-wave and D-wave channels. And so this repulsion is treated using two parameters. Let me make some connections to other related works. So we used optical phonon modes, but certainly there are many other phonon modes in the system. Other phonon modes can further enhance attraction in the S-wave channel. So for example, discussed in these papers. So I also want to connect with these two papers. So in these two papers, they use non-range Coulomb interaction, which preserves SU2 times SU2 symmetry. So essentially, it is a spin rotational symmetry for independently for each value. So it is spin SU2 times SU2. Because of this symmetry, in this study D wave and P wave are degenerate. So because of this symmetry, triplet and singlet are degenerate. So here, intervalley phonons can tip the balance towards D wave. Okay. Now I will discuss some properties of the chiral D wave state. So this is a BDG band structure for chiral D wave state. So you see that it is fully gapped. The dash 9 is the one without pairing. This is a gap structure in momentum space. This yellow curve is a Fermi surface at half inni. And these arrows represent the gap. So the gap is a complex function. It has real and imaginary part represented by these arrows. So the phase winds by 4 pi when you go around this Fermi surface once. So this is generally expected for chiral D wave. This plot is for the Berry curvature. So Berry curvature is concentrated near the Fermi surface. And the Chern number is 4 when you include both spin components. Now I want to discuss something new for the Moray system. So a Couple pair can be understood as a two-particle bound state. So they have the two electrons in the Couple pair can have relative motion and center of mass motion. Typically, we will ignore center of mass motion for Couple pairs in the ground state of a superconductor. But here, because of the superlattice, the center of mass motion can have a finite angular momentum while preserving the Moray periodicity. So this makes a difference. The total angular momentum of the Couple pair has a contribution from the relative motion and the center of mass motion. By matching the total angular momentum, these d plus and d minus states are coupled such that the center of mass motion for one of them has a vortex and a vortex structure. So let me explain by going through these two figures. So this d plus and d minus can be understood as the relative motion on the atomic scale. And after the mixer, we still have two states, two chiral states. So let's call the first row here as a gamma plus state, and the second row here as gamma minus state. They have opposite total angular momentum. In the first state, the center of mass wave function associated with d plus has an S wave symmetry, while the center of mass motion associated with d minus has a vortex anti-vortex structure. So the vorticity near the A region here is plus 2. The vorticity near AB and BA is minus 1. So the total vorticity is 0. The Moray periodicity is preserved. In the second state, it is the time reversal pattern of the first state. So we have vortex anti-vortex for d plus and S wave for d minus. Okay, so this arises due to the superlattice structure. This is a second new phenomenon arise from the superlattice structure. I find that there is a spontaneous supercurrent in the D wave state. There are four plots here. So the first one is the current in the bottom layer. The second is current in the top layer. And this is the sum of the two, which can be understood as a total. And the last one is the current between the two layers. So the total current winds around the z-axis. So it is a loop current around the z-axis. If we look the current individually for each layer, then there is current flow between the layers. So the current here in the top layer flows to the A region, and then it flows down to the bottom layer. In the bottom layer, the current flows outside of the A region, and then it flows back to the top layer. So the spontaneous current can be characterized by the usual magnetic dipole moment and also the magnetic toroidal dipole moment. So we have chiral state, gamma plus and gamma minus. They belong to the same irreducible representation. They are degenerate. By making a linear combination, we can get the pneumatic D-wave state. So the typical terminology is dx squared minus y squared and dxy. So these pneumatic states, these two components are degenerate. They are also degenerate with the chiral D wave state at the critical temperature because of the point group symmetry. If we apply a strain to the system, then the degeneracy is broken. Here, this is a model calculation. I have strain around x-axis. Then you see that the degeneracy splits for dxy and dx squared minus y squared. So for strain around x, dxy is more favored. For strain around y, dx squared minus y squared is more favored. So this behavior is fully consistent with symmetry argument. This plot shows the gap structure for the pneumatic D-wave state. So as expected, they are gapless with point nodes. So for dx squared minus y squared, we have 4 point nodes. For dxy, we have 6 point nodes. So this, the number of point nodes depend on the exact details. Let's look at the critical in-plane magnetic field. So this is relevant to ongoing experiment. This plot is the critical in-plane magnetic field in D-wave channel without any strain. So it has this six-fold rotational symmetry, which is fully expected.
Is this just the Zeeman effect? Or
No. This includes both orbital and Zeeman. If it's just Zeeman effect, then it's just a circle here.
The orbital, because they go between layers?
Exactly, yes. So orbital effect is important to capture this six-fold anisotropy. If field is around x, then the state with highest Tc is dxy-like. And if the field is around y, then the state is dx squared minus y squared-like. So again, this is consistent with symmetry analysis. Okay, so one can define a pneumatic order parameter as a bilinear of the pneumatic director, and these arrows represent this vector n. This is a figure with strain around y-axis, and then you see a two-fold anisotropy in the critical magnetic field, and the state is primarily pinned to dx squared minus y squared because of this strain field.
Is the same strain for both layers, or it's like a relative?
This is homo strain. It's the same for the two layers. Okay, so does this two-fold anisotropy determine the pairing symmetry? My answer right now is no. Okay, let's look at what happens to S wave. So for S wave, this is the critical in-plane magnetic field without strain. So again, you see a six-fold anisotropy as expected from a symmetry point of view. What happens if we apply a strain around y? Turns out there is, again, a two-fold anisotropy. This is not really surprising, just because the bend structure itself can be very sensitive to the strain effect, especially near the magic angle. Near the magic angle, the bend can be very flat, so it's very sensitive to small perturbations. Okay, so the two-fold anisotropy in the critical in-plane magnetic field could be just the band structure effect. Okay, this is work in progress, so more details needs to be understood. Okay, so I will stop here. So a brief summary is that these public phonemes combined with the sublattice pseudo spin chirality can lead to D wave, and the band flattening can lead to relatively high TC. And thank you for your attention.
I noticed in one of your strain pictures, it looked like the TC actually went up with strain, like by 50%, which seems pretty large. Is there a simple way to understand that?
You mean this one?
So
here, I did the calculation by fixing the chemical potential. So the band structure may change. The density of states at this fixed density. Yes, yes.
So you mentioned some of the other phonon modes could enhance or detract, but are these optical phonons still like a much stronger pairing mechanism than the others, like the acoustic twist phonon?
So I don't have an exact answer. So probably they are comparable, at least on the same order of magnitude.
The only one that we kind of looked at is the one that in the strain metal complex, which is of course the acoustic phonon, the value of lambda is almost the same. So again, value of lambda, you know, within BCS3 they'll get exactly that. I mean, I don't want to go beyond that. So I suspect there are other phonon modes which will give similar.
So it's interesting here, all of these, the phonons are like an inter-sublattice, but the other ones will be interesting.
Exactly, yes, yes, yes.
I mean, the nice thing of this picture, and I have nothing to do except for these last two slides, is that it does give this picture that I like very much, that we really would have had superconductivity everywhere throughout the band, and which is preempted by Coulomb interaction at various places. So in different materials, you may see all superconductivity or all insulating phase or things in between, because the details will be different.
So in the experiments, we know that sometimes the superconductor comes under the mod insulator. Does this give you any way to understand that?
No.
Okay.
No.
I mean, it could be the same model. You just don't test for those instabilities.
Yes, yes.
Exactly. And then remember, disorder will change the picture quite a bit. So we know no pristine theory is going to explain all the data, right? Because of what you just said, there are some little variation, and that's probably after Mike's program in Aspen, we can worry about those things right now. Right now, let's hope we do not go in the high TC direction. That 25 years from now, you still arguing what the mechanism is. I'll not be here, but you all are arguing.
Don't count yourself out.
All right, ma'am.
Yeah, you showed this very sort of spatially varying delta profile, right? And the delta became very small in the AB regions.
Yes.
Is that because the density of states is getting just as small there? Which basically means if you included somewhat higher bands, then you would possibly get some delta also there?
Yeah, I think this is a good idea, yes. So, roughly speaking, at the chemical potential, other states are far away from this chemical potential. Yes.
Yeah.
So they contribute a little to the pairing.
But if you scan the density of states here instead of delta, would it also go to zero in the AB regions?
So yes, I did this calculation, at least for a set of chemical potential, at least within this calculation.
Yeah.
So if I change the chemical potential within the two flat bands, the picture remains similar, very similar.
Yeah.